Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Longer term, it's about ISIL's vision. This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end of days strategic vision.
That goes back to our double standard of just assuming that the woman or the mother is the only necessary gender in a child's life, as though men are not contributing anything more than his sperm and his wallet.
The pathologies are shallow music, shallow worship that, because it has a manipulative emotional element, is mistakenly perceived as a rich encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Wisconsin turkey producers love issues, etc.
Well, we all know that politics is the art of the possible. You can't govern without compromise. But on Friday afternoon, there was what appeared to be further compromise on the part of the Obama administration, in particular the Health and Human Services Organization, and they decided that they would again kind of take one step further back from a rather hardline view of religious liberty and the so-called HHS mandate that would require religious organizations to, against their conscience, pay for contraceptives and other devices that they believe lead to abortion. I lost count of how many times this thing has been revised. We'll find out here in just a minute. Is this compromise, or is this just further hedging of bets? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon. It's the 25th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about some revisions made to the HHS mandate on Friday. Daniel Blomberg of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty will be our guest. A little bit later, Dr. Carl Schalk will join us. We're going to talk about Christian pastors and church musicians, what each needs from the other. After all, the two go together. They don't always work together so well, but they do go together. Wesley Smith will join us to talk about a new form of abortion advocacy, a very dangerous form of abortion advocacy. And then Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest as we teach a Sunday school lesson today, The River of Life in Revelation chapter 22. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. And for our beloved on-demand listeners or podcast listeners, our comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the most recent revisions made to the HHS mandate, Daniel Blomberg. He's legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Daniel, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be here.
Take us back, because we're talking about a number of revisions here. Take us back to the original stance that the Obama administration was taking on religious ministries and the HHS mandate.
Okay, yeah, you're exactly right. This is the eighth change that we saw last Friday. And if we go back to the beginning, this is 3 years ago, 2011, the administration issues their mandate that certain health plans provide contraceptive drugs, and then gives a narrow exemption for certain types of religious employers. And this narrow exemption is only available to religious employers that primarily exist to encourage, to inculcate, teach other people about their religious values, primarily employs people who share those beliefs, primarily serves people who share those beliefs, and is a nonprofit organization. So basically, this exemption, which was the only thing that protected people from having religious ministries from having to provide the drugs and devices that many objected to, this was the only thing that was available. It was a very, very narrow exception for those kinds of organizations. Organizations that were so narrow. I mean, many churches wouldn't qualify. Some folks commented, pointed out that Jesus Christ would not qualify for this exemption because too much of his ministry was focused on unbelievers, on people who didn't share his religious faith. So evangelistic ministries, evangelistic churches would not qualify for this exemption the government gave.
So how would you characterize the series now, this, as you said, the eighth time in 3 years that this exemption has been modified? How would you characterize the history from that first very narrow exemption to today?
A long retreat. The federal government has fallen back again and again and again in the face of public pressure, in the face of mounting losses in federal courts, over 90% of courts ruling against it, and dozens of courts here who have issued rulings, including now the U.S. Supreme Court, three different times pushing back against and rejecting the government's positions in court. So the administration has been engaged in a long retreat from that initial extreme stance that it took. Unfortunately, it's been a very incremental retreat, and so we're still not back to the place that we should be in many respects.
Where are we today with the latest revision?
Well, so the latest revision isn't what religious liberty advocates and religious ministries have been asking for since day one. It was not an exemption. It does not allow the religious ministries to simply provide health care to their employees in a way that matches their religious faith. Instead, it requires them to still participate with the government in some way of the government's plan in providing contraceptive drugs to their employees. The government's argument here, what the government is trying to do, is saying that the participation is too attenuated. It's not enough. They're not having to do enough for it to religiously matter. And it's unfortunate that the government, after weeks and weeks and weeks of looking at losses in the U.S. Supreme Court and years of receiving very clear pressure from religious liberty advocates, hasn't yet done what they should have done just by reading the First Amendment, and that is exempting the religious organizations entirely.
What does the Obama administration, at least at this point still, 3 years out, seem, from your perspective, to not understand about the concerns of those who are advocating for religious liberty? What don't they get?
It's been an unfortunate thing that we've seen for some time that the administration has had a very, very narrow view of what religious exercise should be. I mean, what they were arguing in Hobby Lobby, which is a remarkable position, that you sacrificed your ability to live your religious faith when you opened a business. The cost of living in public life, of running a business, was your constitutional rights, was your religious liberty. Just an astounding position. And frankly, a position that was in keeping with a position they had just a couple years earlier in the Hosanna Tabor case, where they were saying that the government should be able to interfere with the religious ministry's choice of its own ministers. And so the government has a very, very narrow view of what it is that religious liberty means and what and how government should respect that. And we continue to see that, unfortunately. You know, religious liberty advocates are looking forward to the opportunity to bless and sanction an exemption for religious ministries. It's been unfortunate the government continues to hold a very narrow view of what religious liberty requires.
Is it an attempt, or at least a witting or unwitting attempt on the part of the current administration, to narrow the idea of religious liberty to simply freedom of worship?
Well, it's certainly been a repeated position by the government, and it's been repeated in court in the ways I just described, that the government has tried to extremely narrowly define what religious exercise looks like. One of the Seventh Circuit cases, one of the appellate court cases to look at this, said that basically what the government was trying to do is it said the sphere of religious influence in your life can't exist anywhere but within the four walls of the church. And the court in that case said most religious believers just don't accept that. They can't live that way. That's not how their faith informs their living. And the government has the opportunity to do the right thing, and we hope that it will.
So summarizing, headed in the right direction, but very, very slowly. Is that a good way of summarizing the retreat that you described before?
Well, it's necessarily heading in the right direction because it's falling back from the government's extreme positions that it's held throughout. And what the stage we're at now is, you know, religious ministries are having to look at this most recent attempt by the government to come up with something that accomplishes their mission, and see if they can live with that. And it might be that some can, it might be that some can't. The unfortunate thing is that the government has seen fit to have such a narrow view of religious liberty and such a cramped view of the way religious belief should influence people's choices.
Finally, then, why doesn't the administration, in your opinion, just simply admit that it made a mistake, get together with the advocates for religious liberty and say, let's craft something we can all agree with?
You know, I don't know. And we're here, we're ready, we want to do that. You know, one of the things that's really remarkable at all this, you look at religious ministries, like, for instance, the Little Sisters of the Poor. Clearly a religious ministry. They're nuns. They're an order of nuns that have been around for 175 years. All they do is provide care to the elderly poor in society. And they do it internationally, and they have 30 homes here in the United States. And the government says, you know what, Little Sisters, you're not religious enough. If you were owned by the Catholic bishops and they held the keys to your ministry, then we would exempt you. We would give you what you've been asking for all along. But because we look at you and we see nuns and not bishops, we're not going to give you that exemption. And that's just really unfortunate. The government shouldn't be picking religious winners and losers. It should be respecting religious liberty broadly.
So what do you expect in terms of continued lawsuits? You mentioned something about 90% or 90-some-odd cases that have, in essence, been decided in favor of the religious ministries. What do you expect in the future here?
Well, there are 102 cases that have been filed against this the government's attack on religious liberty here. And overwhelmingly, the government is losing in court. And there's no reason to think that that they're going to get any better track record. They keep tinkering around the edges, and they haven't gotten any more successful. Really, the only question is whether or not the government has this time, with this last tinker, done something that's going to meet the religious needs of ministries. And that's going to be something that each ministry will have to decide on its own.
Daniel Blomberg is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You will find a link to the Beckett Fund at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Daniel, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about pastors and church musicians and their common task of doxology. Dr. Carl Sharp will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Monday afternoon, August the 25th. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're in a small parish, you know how difficult it can be to find an organist when your musician is sick, has a family emergency, or simply wants a week off to visit the grandkids. Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows you to select your hymns and liturgy to be sent to an iPad that plays your church's organ. The best way to learn more is to log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit. There are no obligations and there's no sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.